expect a new beginning. A warm embrace from abuelito. When I said goodbye, I didn't know it'd be forever. A chance to live a better life. To live our hopes and all our dreams. But you look at me and see your own interpretation. Unknowingly talking about me, and it breaks my heart 'cause you and I grew up together. But no more hiding in the shadows. I found my voice, I found my courage to step out and shout, "Mira, me que estoy aquí."
You are listening to KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. Welcome to A Public Affairs. I am your host, Rosana Longo-Better. And we are just listening right now to Elisa Garcia singing Carlos Heredia's song, "Do You Know Who I Am?" This is written for Motus Theater's Andoku America Monologues, first performance back in 2013, which feature personal stories of DACA recipients through monologue, poetry, music, and visual arts. To reflect on the 10th anniversary of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, known as DACA, that was created back in 2012, in June 15, to provide a 2-year of deferred deportation, a work permit, and increased opportunity for higher education for children brought to this country without documentation, we have founder and artistic director Kirsten Wilson and partnership and project manager Armando Peniche in studios today. Welcome. I'm so happy to have you. I'm so excited. I feel I'm just having the first show today in the radio because I get so, so happy with you guys here. This is super important because your performances on immigration have reached almost 300,000 people in Colorado through theater, films, animation, and podcasts too. Tell us how these narratives have impacted policy now, but not only in the county, in the state of Colorado too. Kirsten.
The Andoku America stories that have started back in 2012 over the last decade have shifted in Boulder County. For example, stories were quoted when we were deciding to become a sanctuary city. One of the city council people said, if you heard Anacasa's story, you know we have to become a sanctuary city. We have to support our undocumented community. We've also had influence in the state on moving legislators. One of the things MOTUS does is we partner with Colorado legislators to read those stories of undocumented leaders. And so even if the legislator might have tended towards being moving on immigration, as someone like Jonathan Singer said, after reading these stories, I feel that I have to work harder, or represented Leslie Harrod, I have to be more strategic. I have to introduce more legislation because now I'm holding so closely the impact of what will happen if I don't get this through. So it's as much about energy and the momentum around, for example, the driver's license bill that legislators talked about, the need to push, because after, for example, hearing Victor Galvan's story of almost being deported because someone hit his car. He didn't do anything, but someone hit his car, and then the police were notified he was undocumented. He's a great leader in our state. To have him lose his right to be here in this country because of someone else hitting his car is crazy. So it helped people with that momentum in that way. And it's also shifted policy in law enforcement.
It's real stories. I want to make sure that I also have Armando join the conversation around this. Armando, do you want to add something?
Thank you, Rosanna, for having us. And it's great to be here also as a monologuist. I'm not only the partnerships and project manager, but yes, a monologuist for the Indocumerica project. And as Kirsten mentioned, we have the privilege of working with state representatives, state leaders. And yeah, one of the things that I want to highlight is just the connection that it makes, because we go beyond, you know, kind of working through policy and being part of those conversations that lead to better policies like Boulder becoming a sanctuary city in Colorado before even Denver did. But we take it to relationship building level, where we're able to make friendships with those state leaders and have them tell our stories, like on the Senate floor, to their colleagues, and therefore push for that policy change. It's great that we're having this performance on June 11th, because I think that people in attendance will get to see that and also be impacted by that.
Armando Peniche, talking about the importance of the DACA program and how the stories told by Mothu's Theater in such an artistic way has influenced policy and the minds of a lot of people that have been touched by these performances. Mothu's has become known nationally for its collaboration with the law enforcement, political, religious, and education leaders who stand in the shoes of undocumented people by reading their stories aloud on stage or as part of Mothu's Theater's Shoebox Stories podcast. Who have been some of those influencers and readers? If you can tell us some of them, some of those names, and which ones have impacted you the most, Armando?
Yeah, of course. So some of our collaborations, like you mentioned, we have a podcast series, and you can find it at shoeboxstories.org. Right now we're doing Undocumented Monologues. And some of those collaborations are with actors like John Lithgow. We also have one with World Central Kitchen founder, Chef Jose Andres, Univision anchor Jorge Ramos, and feminist icon Gloria Steinem. I was actually able to do my episode for my monologue with Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors. And we also have some of the monologues who have done their monologue with Maria Nojosa, she's the founder of Latino USA, and Nicholas Kristof is another one that has been on that series. And the way we do those, like you'll see on the podcast, or you'll hear on the podcast, is that we have them read our story, because we talk to them and we tell them that, you know, like it's a great way to uplift our stories, because that's the best way to know a person, right? Or a community, is through storytelling. And we go over it with them that, you know, just because they read the story, it doesn't mean that they agree 100% with everything that we say in the story. It just means that they're willing to suspend judgment for a while and just step into our shoes, you know. So hence the name Shoebox Stories.
It's a great name. En los zapatos de otros. Ponte en mis zapatos. That's what we say in Spanish. It's such a cool way of really bringing these stories to life, the sharing, the mirroring, the witnessing. And that's the reason when I read what award-winning Univision anchor Jorge Ramos added, I was super impacted, and that touched me. He said, I have been reporting about immigration for more than 30 years, and I have talked to hundreds or thousands of immigrants in my life, but it's very rare when I can get into their personal story. And this is just what happened. I think that if people in this country will listen to stories like this and really just take a couple of minutes to digest everything that you said, it will be a different story. It will be a different story, yeah?
One of our project strategists for the Just Us Project talks about the, quote, closest distance between two people is that kind of sharing of stories. And in our families, for example, if you happen to have a child who is either super precocious and therefore is too bored in school and starting to act out, or maybe a child who's autistic, you know the importance of our educational system and how it responds to different needs. And if you know that, for example, 1 in 11 children in Colorado is woven to a family with an undocumented member, and the impact on that child, if not only if an undocumented person who lives here, like for decades, is suddenly ripped away from their home in the United States, it's not only what that does to that individual to be deported, but what it does to the entire family and all the children woven into that kid's life. Because what we want to do is have a country in which people have opportunity, in which they are able to thrive and survive in a beautiful way, because they are future doctors, our nurses, our lawyers, our police officers. And so the holding stories that closely of the undocumented community helps people understand, like, oh, I didn't know that was the impact of this policy. And so what we want to do, if we want to create humane policies, is you have to know the impact on the people who are most impacted on the front lines of that issue, so you can create more humane policy.
Super important. Before we continue our conversation this morning, I would like to share with you these two short excerpts by DACA recipients Alejandro Fuentes Mena and Christian Solano Cordova. These are short, but they are super powerful, and I'm going to make sure that Kirsten and Armando, you both have some time to reflect on them and share with us. So let's go listen first to Alejandro Fuentes Mena.
I'm living in this country undocumented, teaching your children, supporting them, engaging their minds in math and in their dreams. I am 100% here and 100% committed to this country in which I was raised, this country that constantly seeks to spit me out. Lose me, and you lose my value. Not just the money I pay in taxes and the money I pay into Social Security, which I will never be able to benefit from, but you lose my ability to inspire, connect, and engage. You lose my ability to bring an impact. And you lose the knowledge that I bring to my students, who are your children. This country would be foolish to lose me. Deport me! Deport me. But in the end, it's your loss.
And it breaks my heart, 'cause you and I grew up together.
Let me tell you, that touches my heart so deeply when I hear him saying, deport me. Do it. You will lose me. You will lose everything that I'm bringing. It's so powerful. What a statement. Kirsten, tell us about him and how he decided to come forward and share his story.
Alejandro Fuentes Mena is one of the first two undocumented or documented teachers in the country through Teach for America. He's been sharing his story in many capacities for many, many years. But when we were looking for leaders who wanted to find a story that they wanted to share to the nation, he was one of the leaders who said, yes, I want to make sure that my voice is raised to support not only other people with DACA, but undocumented folks who weren't eligible for the program, our parents, our families. And he courageously put himself out there. And one of the things I love about his story and how he's an amazing teacher. He's a great gift to this country. He's a great gift to our students. And this clarity in his piece, as he expresses it, that Yes, it would be completely disruptive to his life. He's 100% in this country. He's 100% committed in the country in which he was raised. But if you want to deport him to Chile, ultimately, you're the one who's going to lose out. Because when you have someone like that who embodies citizenship, because even if they're not a citizen, that is what keeps our democracy strong. And so I'm just so glad to hear that excerpt shined out that we'll also be able to hear on June 15th for the national broadcast, because we need voices like that to remind us of our humanity and our democracy and how we all contribute to this country.
You are listening to KGNU Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins. And we have in studios Kirsten Wilson and also Armando Peniche. And we're talking about these performances in honor of DACA, coming the 10th anniversary of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. We're going to listen now to another excerpt from Christian Solano Cordova. This one is super powerful, too.
Our former president and his followers, they might try to caricature my little three-year-old self as a diseased toddler, criminal, murderer, rapist, gang member in the making. They might try to scare people who don't know any undocumented immigrants into thinking that my mother carrying her children to safety is nothing less than an invasion. But Beba and I, we grew up beloved by our friends, our neighbors. We grew up to be strong members of our communities. We both went to college, and I even became student body president of my university. I'm not part of some invading army fighting against America, but like many of you, I'm fighting for the American ideals I know we can live up to. They may want to take away my baby sister's right to citizenship, but I remain hopeful that maybe the Nai or some other young woman listening to my story might be our future president and lead us to a future where we actually live up to those ideals to truly have liberty and justice for all. But that reality is going to take a lot of hard work, and not just on my part or on the part of the immigrant community, but hard work on your part too. Every single one of you. As Anne Frank once wrote in her famous diary, how wonderful it is no one need wait a single moment before starting to improve the world.
Christian Solano Cordova, undocumented social justice activist. He's so powerful. If I admire somebody, it's him deeply. I have to share with you that sometimes I call him just to ask him about what's going on with, you know, these laws that I really don't understand. And he is so great at explaining everything. He's a scholar. I can testify that. Armando Peniche, you want to talk about what we just heard from Christian Solano Cordova?
Yes, of course, Rosanna. And let me just say, Christian Solano Cordova, I agree. He's just a wonderful person. If you ever have the privilege of meeting him in person or at one of the performances, make sure to say hi to him. But yeah, he, Christian's excerpt, I'm glad you chose that excerpt because it goes to speak of what Kirsten was mentioning earlier, how, you know, not having documented status affects the whole family. And in his monologue, you know, he's pointing out that, you know, his sisters are documented. And, you know, just the impact that it brings to a little sister, you know, just the fear of deportation, you know, asking her, like, you know, those, or telling her those comforting words that we all want to hear, but we know that it's probably not true, almost like lying, but knowing that we're trying to protect the innocence of the little one, because as Christian says in this monologue, you know, like, you shouldn't have to know what deported means, you know, so it touches our hearts when we listen to that monologue. And yeah, Christian, he's been working for the community for years, and as he mentioned, he ran for to become the student body president at Metropolitan State University. He actually won. He's a wonderful person, and right now he's working as the communications director at the National Partnerships for New Americans, and so he's continuing to do that work. And he will also be on the broadcast along with Alejandro on June 15th.
It's going to be so amazing. I cannot wait. And you're having this coming June 11th special performance, a bilingual one. You know how much I like that. And then you have also in June 15. June 15 will be then the 10th anniversary of the establishment of the DACA program. And Motus Theater's Arts Base Company will offer live performances, one at the Dairy Arts Center in Boulder and the other one on Rocky Mountain Public Media's YouTube. Please give us some details, Kirsten.
Sure. So first we have a live performance with Monologues on June 11th, 3 p.m. In Espanol, and at, is it 5? No, 6 p.m. In English. And so those are two different performances, one all in Spanish, one all in English, with powerful music, including Modus collaborating songwriter Carlos Heredia, who's written many songs for Modus Theater. And during that performance, you'll have an opportunity to hear from Victor Galán, who was originally in Do You Know I Am, as well as Kiara Chavez and Laura Peniche and Irina Reza and Armando Peniche. So we're hoping that you will be there in person and connect and celebrate these amazing lives and be part of the ambassador of sharing these stories with your friends. So don't not only come, but bring your friends. And it's a free performance with a powerful music, so you don't want to miss it. And then on June 15th, that's a broadcast. So we're all day, Rocky Mountain Public Media is going to feature on its YouTube channel a pre-recorded event we did. You heard some of the excerpts of Alejandro and Christian's story with musician Elisa Garcia. We also have Grammy Award-winning musician Judy Collins, and we'll be playing her song Dreamer as part of that, and some other special guests. Surprises coming up, because that will be not only for our local community, but a national way for Modus to uplift DACA and the humanity of all of us as we make choices to create more humane immigration policy.
But what's going on with the DACA program now, since it has been in limbo starting 2017, I think? Tell us, Armando, what's going on there?
Well, thank you for asking, Rosanna. And I think limbo is the best way to describe it. And one thing you have to know about DACA is that it shifts with the political climate. Whoever's in power in office, it shifts towards that. The Trump administration tried to kill it several times. And Biden ran with the promise of fixing DACA and on immigration reform. But unfortunately, that hasn't happened. Right now, for about a year, now it's been on stay because a judge in Texas ruled that it was illegal. So he blocked new applications from coming, from being able to be processed. So the important thing to know about this right now is that if you have DACA, you can still renew it. You can renew it every 2 years. As of now, they're waiting to see if they're going to decide to lift that ruling or not. But the unfortunate thing is that we have high school students who are graduating who are not able to apply for DACA because that ruling blocked any new DACA applications. So we have a whole another generation of students who aren't able to access a work permit, a social security, and chance for higher education. So that's why it's very important that we keep the topic alive. We keep talking to our senators, to our family, to friends who need to learn more about immigration and how we're dealing with it.
It's such a politicized issue, huh? It's like using people for their own gain.
Yeah, no, and it's politicized. And you know, another thing to mention is that even the DACA recipients who've had DACA for now, it's going to be 10 years. That's a wild thing to think about, right? But a lot of DACA recipients have a family back home who's growing up without them. And, you know, you're only able to catch up with them through photographs. So, you know, it comes with a sacrifice, you know. Mm. And I just want to speak to that. That's the DACA recipients that that are in this country and part of a working society, like they are also giving up a lot of their connections with their home countries, with their families, with new people being born in the family, and they're not able to visit them. With people who they said goodbye in their home countries, and they're not even able to attend funerals. So DACA was meant as a Band-Aid, but we need a big immigration reform, something that covers our parents and more of our community.
Armando Peniche, talking about how difficult it is to be holding this uncertainty and how it affects not only the holders and the recipients of DACA, but the whole family. Kirsten, what do you see happens to a DACA recipient emotionally? How this affects not only them, but the whole family?
Well, I think it affects people in different ways, and Armando could speak in more detail about that, but we all hold the hopes and dreams of our youth. I know some of the grief happening around the shootings and everything that's happening in this country is our youth are our future. They're our hope. If we're going to change things, we want to invest in our youth. And I think it's really, really important in the politicized nature of all this to remember that DACA recipients are undocumented Americans. This is the country in which they were raised. This is the country they call home. Like many of us, they're woven to their home country, just like I am woven to Ireland and I'm woven to different states I've lived. Like, we're woven. But these are undocumented Americans, and over 70%, the vast majority of Republicans and Democrats, all support DACA. And yet it's being held hostage because immigration is being used as this political point on the very extreme to talk falsehoods around threat, which are actually not there. And the real threats, which is one of the reasons people are actually moving across our border, are climate change. Climate change is destroying farmers in different areas. A lot of the first DACA recipients I worked with families were corn farmers, and that was was ruined even before climate change, but by different policies with Mexico that have really disrupted American foreign policy with South America, has destabilized regimes that have made things really dangerous. This is not just like, oh, people are coming over here for no good reason. People are coming over here as a result of issues that we have as a country in foreign policy, as well as some of the influences of our climate change and how we influence the climate. So this is a really, really important project to think well about, and undocumented leaders to think well about, because immigration is going to continue. As long as there is climate change, people will migrate. As long as there's destabilized countries, people will migrate, because you'll do anything to protect the safety of your child. And these are amazing people who love their children, who did risk everything to bring them to this country because they cared and they loved. And I can't wait for us to all celebrate the great lovers of family and community that are part of the undocumented community and a part of our nation.
Kirsten Wilson and Armando Peniche, thank you so much for coming to the studios and for reminding us how Motus Theater has been uplifting personal stories of undocumented leaders since the DACA program began 10 years ago, and how these stories have been impacting humane immigration policy at local and regional level. I have been your host, Rosanna Longo-Better. Stay tuned for 2.5 hours of Sound Alternative.
Bags are packed, a new beginning, a warm embrace from abuelito. When I said goodbye, I didn't know it'd be forever. To live a better life, to live our hopes and all our dreams. But you look at me and see your own interpretation.